You. The announcements are listed in the second page in the bulletin. Some of you who are online, there is a problem with the online service, so it looks like they may not be able to hear. The announcements are also on the screen if you can follow that with me. The Georgia Mountain Food Bank, that is a ministry that we have been part of for a long time. Please continue to donate in cash or in kind. Grocery items that are needed are listed in a yellow sticky note up on the notice board up the front. There's a bin at the back, you can drop off your groceries. The Joy in the Journey book is available for sale, which will benefit the church missions that we are doing through this church. Our mailing address is listed there for your information and your communication. And also today we have the celebration Sunday, as the last Sunday we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries or any other events that happened you celebrate during this time, during this month. Join us for a lunch after service for that. And there will be a preschool board meeting after the lunch so we can discuss some of the future plans for the school as well. Next Sunday, November 7, will be Communion Sunday. And it's also All Saints Sunday, that we will remember those who have gone before us, our dear ones, our fathers of faith and heroes of faith who have gone before us. We will remember our dear ones during that time who is no more with us next Sunday. And next Sunday is also the time change Sunday. So please remember to put your clock far backwards. If you don't, you still can come to church and join us for Sunday school. So it'll be a little early, but we have things going on. You can join us for Sunday school. So Sunday school people should not, you always have to change your clock, because you'll be here at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
You don't want to be. So let us remember to change our time backwards next Saturday night. And the cooking class and the art class, as we do it on second and third Sundays, are listed there. Please continue to join for a good time of fun and fellowship. And also the third Sunday lunch at the Golden Corral also is going to be November 18 at 1 p.m. Join that as well. Fall craft sale, I don't know what's the status of that. Did you all?
We're working on it.
You're working on it?
But did we decide on a date?
Okay, you can think about it. We still have a couple of months before we can do it. Hopefully we can get it before December, right? Before Christmas.
That would be good.
Okay. Okay.
We have it after Christmas, though.
All the stores.
Can you text Martha, see if we will be back online soon? I know she probably will be waiting. Yeah, it's on just the computer is acting up. But the attendance and collections are listed there for your continued participation and donation. Please also consider giving online. We have the option to do that through our website now. Please consider those options. As we come to the close of the year, we are still behind a little bit in our budget and our planned activities that we plan to do. So consider that and pray about it, and for the next couple of months, see what we can do to get our donations up. Are there any other announcements? During our prayer time, we'll have a special time of prayer for healing. I know Mr. Guillermo and Liliana are here, and they wanted to have some time with us to pray for him as he's going through some difficult situation with health. So at that time, I would invite all of those who are going through any kind of difficulties, not only bodily sickness, but also anything in your heart, in your soul that you want to pour out. Please come to the altar. Let us bow down together and pray together for these people. So please take that time to pray for these people at that time. And also at the end, I missed one of the items in the order of service. We will be having a closing chorus that will be God Be With You. God Be With You Till We Meet Again, 672. We'll be singing first line and the chorus before we depart. So a departing chorus. That's all the announcements I have. Anybody have anything else to add or anything else? If not, let us go to God in prayer together and let us worship God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We don't have our hymnals listed on the screen. It will tell you the number, but you have to follow the book. So please get ready for the book. The opening hymn is 117, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. If you are able, please stand. Please stand, 117. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful time that you have given us together to gather in your name and worship you. Together with all the saints in this world and in heaven, and also the angels who are praising you every day, we thank you for your grace and mercy that you chose us to be your children. Because of your Son Jesus Christ, who came to die for us, he rose again from the dead so that we can all have eternal life. We thank you for giving us that eternal life through your Son Jesus Christ. You opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of thy Holy Spirit. We come before you as your children, different in many ways, but one in spirit, to worship you and praise you for your marvelous works. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit today with all the people who are gathering in your name around the world. Bless all the gatherings that are gathering to worship you today. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Guide us as a church, Lord. Help us to be humble before you and obedient before the Holy Spirit to do whatever you ask us to do in our singings, in our meditation of the word, in our prayers and praises that we do here today, and also the lunch that we partake after the service. All bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is our greeting and fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. If you are able, please stand for the responsive reading, which is taken from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16.
We'll be reading from out of Hamlet. Those who dwell in the shadow of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord,
my refuge
and my
fortress.
For the Lord will deliver you from the snares of the fowler, and from the deadly pestilence, and will cover you with his pension.
Under the Lord's wing you will find refuge. God's faithfulness is a shield and a buckler.
You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day.
Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but will not come near you. The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now. As we come before God, we share our prayers of blessings as well as prayers of concerns together. And we thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives, and also lift up our burdens and cares and concerns to the Father in heaven. The regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletin. If you can turn with me or look at the screen. These are the people and items that we continue to pray for. Let us keep Rich and Martha in our prayers. I think Martha is trying to join again. I don't know her latest training. She's doing okay after the chemo. Much better after the chemo. So, okay, it looks like she's back on. There was something wrong with this computer that I was using, but the other one was working. Okay, glad that you're able to join. How are you doing now? We are in the prayer time now.
I'm doing a little bit better, still a little rough, but doing better, thank you.
Okay, we'll continue to pray for you. We have a special time of prayer today for healing. I don't know if you heard that, so we'll take some time in the prayer time to do that. I'm glad that Bob was able to join us here today, and his feet, his leg is getting better. Please continue to pray for him and Kathy. Linda is not here today because of some reason in town. I believe that's why she's not here. But Jack is doing okay, right? As far as I know. Up and down. Every day is a challenge, but whatever good days we get, we'll take it. He's in a hospice care, so we can't do much about that. But keep them in our prayers, particularly Linda, who has to struggle a lot of things during this time. I talked about Guillermo and Liliana. They have been here with us before, and Guillermo has been diagnosed with some kind of I believe it's a cancer. Yeah, so please keep him in our prayers, and he's here for our prayers today. We as a church have known him for a long time. And thanks for joining us. We'll have a special time of prayer together. Lou has also some issues with health that she's going through.
Yeah.
And please keep her in our prayers. And she was able to get up this morning. She was sharing with us this morning that one of her legs did not cooperate this morning. So that was something that we were able to. Let us continue to pray for our service workers, medical professionals, nurses, doctors. A lot of various things are going on. Please keep them in our prayers for their safety, and also to have more workers to come to work during this time of pandemic. Let us continue to pray for our nation, for the unity and peace in this country, and also the leaders of the nation, our president and all the lawmakers, governors, all those who make major decisions that affect our lives, so that God will guide them with wisdom every day. I think I covered everything. We had been praying for Thomas John, who had a kidney transplant, that his kidney had developed some problems, the new kidney, but they had to put him in some kind of a drug. Everything is back to normal as far as kidney is concerned, but the drugs that they gave him killed much of his body now, so he can't get up by himself. The kidney is functioning, so one or the other, you know, that's always happened. So please keep him in our prayers, but he's in good spirits, very in good faith as well, so that's good. So those of you who want to come to the altar, please come here. Please come and kneel at the altar. We'll have a time of prayer for healing if you want to come. We'll take a moment of silent prayer. Then all of those who want to come and pray with these folks, please come and touch them and pray with them, whoever want to come. As you are holding hands together and praying for these folks, let me pray with a summarized prayer at this time. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life that you gave us in this world. Along with that comes a lot of blessings that we enjoy every day. In spite of our unfaithfulness, you have been faithful to us. We thank you for your grace every day and your faithfulness every day that is new. At the same time, we look up to you for our needs, our healing. God, you are the source of all good things, and you desire only good for us. You have been good in the past, you are good today, and you will be good in the future. We trust in your promises that when we unite in spirit and ask anything in your name, you will answer our prayers according to your time and your will. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and humble before you so that we can be filled with your power today. Bless, Lord, today as we come before you. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We lift up all these folks who are going through difficult times. Some of them are broken in their bodies. Some of them are broken in their spirits. Some of them are looking for needs that need to be met. Open the right doors at the right time, Lord. Touch those who need healing with your healing hand. Because of your stripes, we are healed. We come before you for healing in our bodies, in our spirits, and in our souls. We come before you for your guidance when we are finding ourselves lost. Above all, we pray for peace that passeth all understanding to rule the hearts and minds of these people of yours. Bless us, Lord, today with your healing power as we go from this place to experience the power in our bodies, in our spirits, in our souls, so that we can share that power to others wherever we are in the coming weeks. Thank you again for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have healing, we have eternal life, and we have everything, the riches in heaven that you have offered us. Give us the grace to act in faith and receive these things today. There is no need so great that God cannot meet it. There is no burden too heavy that God cannot carry it. As the scripture says, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. So we come before you fully trusting in your promises. And we know that you have already answered our prayers. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord. We particularly pray for those who have been named here. We pray for Rich and Martha and Jack and Linda. We pray for Guillermo again as he is here joining us today. We pray for Bob. We pray for Lou. We pray for all those who are struggling with their health at this time. Be with them and comfort them. Comfort their dear ones with your presence. We also lift up all of our service workers, our police, military, and all those personnel who work in the day and night for us, Lord. We thank you for their services and pray for their protection and safety. We pray for all those who are struggling with this pandemic. A lot of people have lost their dear ones. A lot of people are still struggling with health issues because of this. We know that you are in the middle of all of these things, and we look for you for our future and hope. We pray for the nation as a whole, to stand united and also to be peaceful. Lord, we pray for our president, our vice president, national leaders and lawmakers and governors who have to make tough decisions every day. Give them your wisdom and guidance so that your will be done in this country as a whole. We thank you again for this time they have given us together. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Bless us with your word and your power. We pray this prayer in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for joining for the prayer. Please may go back to your seats. So as the choir will be singing the instrumental, the ushers will come and take up the offering, please. Scripture says everybody should give according to what he or she has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or not on compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Take this offering and bless this so that we can use this for your glory to be a blessing not only in this community but around the world. Bless us as a church as we look for your guidance in the future, and guide us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be humble and obedient so that we can follow your will. We thank you for your grace in our midst. We pray for all of those who were able to give today, and thanks for their generous donation. At the same time, we pray for those who could not give anything today. Bless all of them in your love and keep them under your care, Lord. Keep us safe under your mighty wings until we see Easter in Jesus' presence one day. Help us to have that glorious hope. This is only a temporary life in this world, that we are looking for eternity with you. Keep us safe under your mighty wings, Lord. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And there will be a special today from the instrument. Thank you. Is causing that interference. One of the piano notes, I think, is kicking something.
God bless you, Wayne, for keeping your cool.
Yes.
It's gone now. We will have the scripture reading now. If you are able, please stand for the scripture reading, which is taken from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. If you are able, please stand.
Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on that place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Do not be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. When you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow, set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the gift of the word that you give us, Lord. You gave us your loving Son as the living word in this world so that we can understand the mysteries of the spiritual truths that we have to learn in our lives. Bless us, Lord, as we come before your word with humility and obedience so that whatever you command us to do, that we will do it and become a blessing. Bless us with your wisdom, humility and obedience, and open our souls and illumine our hearts and minds. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this is another prophet that I am going to be preaching today. And I preached about prophet Elijah last Sunday. And prophet Elisha is the disciple, or was the disciple of prophet Elijah. And we'll go into the history of that. So we wanted to talk about the different perspectives of how you handle situations of crisis. And I'm sure everybody has gone through crisis. Anybody not gone through any crisis in life? If you haven't, you will be. You will be. But I'm sure everybody has gone through. A distraught senior citizen lady called the doctor's office. And she asked the nurse, is it true, she asked the doctor, is it true that the medication you prescribed has to be taken for the rest of my life? And the doctor said, yes, ma'am, I'm afraid so. And she was quiet for a little while, and then after silence, she said, I'm just wondering just how serious my condition is, because this prescription is marked no refills. But the doctor thought about it and said, well, you probably didn't listen to me when I said I will give you 30 days first. And I want to see how your body responds to it, then I can adjust the doses before that. He forgot all about that. She didn't listen to it. So, she looked at the label and said, there's no refills, and it's the rest of... So she was concerned and panicked. Many times we look at the labels and we get panicked. And it happens a lot more than we think it does, but it does happen a lot, almost every day. What is in front of us scares us more than what is behind it. In times of trial, people panic because they can only see what is written on the label and then come up with a lot of assumptions based on the label. I don't know about you, but whenever the doctor prescribes me anything, now what do? Type it in Google. And the doctors hate that, believe me, because my son is a physician. He tells her, don't do that. He tells me every time. And you know, once you search for that drug, what are you looking for? Not the good effects, the side effects. That's what I'm looking for. And when you see those side effects, anywhere from headache to numbness and diarrhea and all the way to death. That's what I'm looking. So I don't know why. I tend to do that all the time to see what is the negative of it and then get panicky. And the doctors don't like that, honestly, because the side effects are there, no matter how much you can take. These are chemicals that you inject in your bodies anyway. So it will have side effects. But these times of situations, when we come, we look at the labels and particularly catch on to the bad ones and the negative ones, and then think about it and worry about it and get panicked. If you can flip a couple of slides, see if, I don't know if you can see it. What do you see? Yeah, so you can see the perceptions, right? The first picture sees, how many can you see? Three bars on the floor?
Four.
Or how many see floor? Four. But there are people who can see three. Can you raise your hands where we can see three? See, the smart ones can see three, right? Right, yeah, if you look at one end, you will see three, and the other end, you will see three. See, look at our eyes can deceive you. And look at the dog and the bird. How many can you see dog and how many can see a bird? It's how you look at it. And then at the bottom there, is it a rabbit or is it a duck? You know, there's three of them.
Three ducks?
Three ducks? Do you see three rabbits? Nobody sees rabbits? How many can you see rabbits there? There are some you can see. She can see it. I'm glad that you don't see. And one more slide. I mean, this is quick. It's a lot of things. If you flip one more. Okay, there you go. Another one. You know, you can see different ways you look at it. Mm-hmm. Some of them, how many can you see that little columns there? And some of them are people in there. How many can you see people there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see people too. And look at this here, orange dot. How many of you think one is larger than the other? Yeah, it's apparently it looks like one is bigger than the other because the dark surrounding this is smaller compared to the, but these are the same size orange dots. So these are some things that, you know, we teach in our when I used to be in corporate world, we used to teach how our perception differs many times because our eyes can be deceiving. So you don't see with your eyes, actually. You see with your brain. That's what it tells you. So what you see in front of your eyes can be deceiving. And we always, as people of faith, have to look beyond what is seen on the immediate. Don't get stuck on the label of no refills. Because there is a doctor behind it who knows your treatment program. And, you know, that is what we need to. So don't get panicky. So I titled the story here today, Can You Really See? Can you see? You know, our national anthem starts with, Oh Say, Can You See? Do you know the history behind it? Because I was looking, I mean, you all know the history behind it. It was looking at a war area somewhere in Maryland. I think it was written during that time. Francis Scott Key wrote this in 1814, September 14. While the war was going on between the British and the U.S., British, it's called Fort McHenry, I believe. That's where the war was in Maryland. And one of his friends, Dr. William Beans, was taken prisoner by the British Army and was held in a ship in some docks in Maryland. So Francis Scott Key went to looking for his friend who was taken prisoner, and he was in the ship with his friend who was held prisoner there, but the British did not let both of them go. They kept both of them until Fort McHenry was bombed and destroyed. But while he was in the ship, he was able to see all the smoke and all the explosions that are happening, destroying that fort. And he was broken. And he thought everything was in ashes and destroyed. And at the end of all of that big flashes and destruction and noise, he was able to see a flag, a U.S. flag in the middle of the smoke. That's when he wrote, Oh, can you see? Say, can you see? And it says, And the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. That's how he wrote the song. When I looked at, I mean, I read about it, it really gave me some inspiration about how the smoke and the clouds and the explosions and the noise around us can panic us and put it in us so much frightened. But if you can see through it, there will be that flag still flying so victoriously, and eventually you know the history what happened later on. So in the middle of a crisis, a song was born which became our national anthem. It happened in the middle of a crisis. So this event that we read today happened somewhere around 890 to 830 BC during the time of King Jehoshaphat in Judah and also King Jehoram in Israel. There were two countries at the time. Israel was divided into northern kingdom and southern kingdom. And there was this king of Aram. Aram is, sometimes we call it Aramea in the New Testament. We refer to that by name. But it is modern day Syria. That's what it is, Aram. So the king Ben-Hadad, who was enemy of the Israelites, threatened Israel several times. He would come and plunder their wealth and attack him from various different sides and always threatened the nation of Israel. But God intervened, and there was this prophet Elijah that rose up as a disciple of prophet Elijah. And prophet Elijah always got the revelation about the attack of the enemy king. So he had a revelation from God every time the enemy king plans an attack. And he will go and tell the king of Israel, so you are going to get attacked tomorrow around noon, be careful. They are going to come through this side of the boundary. So the king of Israel will be prepared for it. So every time the enemy king, the king of Aram or Syria, was planning an attack, it failed. And he thought that there were spies in his own camp that was giving this message to the king of Israel. So when we read in this chapter of 2 Kings chapter 6, we say that this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned all of his officers and demanded them, "Tell me, which of you is on the side of the king of Israel?" They said, "None of us, our lord." And then one of the officers said, "But there is a person by name Elisha in Israel, and he tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." Elisha always knew what the king of Aram was planning on. And he says, the prophet Elisha in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. That is a very bad situation. Then there is somebody who knows what you speak in your bedroom, and he actually tells that to the king of Israel. So that's what Elisha was doing to protect the people of Israel from this enemy king. Now Noah found out that it was this prophet Elisha who is doing this. He decided to take the messenger out. So that's what happens all the time. That's what the messenger is killed, wanted to be killed. So the king decided to surround prophet Elisha where he was staying, and he surrounded and sent a big army and surrounded his camp, his house, wherever he was living. And then at night, his servant, Elisha's servant, a big noise outside. So he went outside and looked and saw this big army surrounding their home where they were living. And he came panicked. And he came back to his master, prophet Elisha, and said, "Oh, we have been surrounded. And what do we do?" That's what the first thing he asked him. Elisha told him, "Open your eyes. Go back and look outside. Open your eyes." And then prayed to God, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant so he can see." So he went out and looked again. Now he can see something different. He not only saw the enemy army surrounding their home, but also he saw a host of other army behind them in fires and chariots of fire. He saw them, and then prophet Elisha told him, "Now you see that those who are with us more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So the panicked servant came back and asked the prophet, "We are surrounded by our enemies. What do we do?" That's what comes to our mind first when we are faced by a crisis. What are we going to do? Is there anything you can do? Probably not. What are you going to do? So we want to do something immediately. That's the response is, what can we do? What are we going to do? That's what the servant said. So it is a question about what shall we do versus what shall or what can they do. That's what we should be thinking at that time. It's not easy for anybody to it's easier said than done. We think we can do many things. We look at our bank accounts. We look at our resources of anything that, like, look at other people. We can probably look at the doctors, the nurses, or look for attorneys. We look for anything that we think we can do. But above all, we need to understand that it is not that what we do matters, it is what God does that matters. So that's the lesson that Elisha taught his servant through this. If you look through the eyes of faith, whatever labels that are threatening you, whatever things that are in front of you that says that there are no refills and you have no hope, but open your eyes of faith so that you can see behind on through those labels, because there is a great God who is behind those labels, and He can give you the right answer that you can be at peace. It is about fear versus faith. It is about panic versus peace. There are so many promises in God's word that we can see, like, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your great reward. That was the promise given to Abraham. And God never changes, and there is a great power within us than within the enemy. So we have more power within us through, because the power of the Holy Spirit is within us, which is more powerful than any other enemies that can attack you from outside or inside of our bodies that threaten us. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8:31. So instead of what shall we do, we can ask, what can they do? I remember when in 2012, we were in a big crisis, and I think I shared that before with you. We planned to buy, we decided to buy a new home, and we had it built, and it was all ready to go and ready to get closed, and the closing date was scheduled. 4 days before the closing date, I lost my job. 4 days. And we didn't know what to do, and I was panicked. And my children were in college at that time, and two kids in college. And we have another house that we put on the market, so we have to pay both. And we didn't even know we are going to be able to close in 4 days. But through this crisis, you know, I went to read about Prophet Elijah. That's how I started reading these people's lives, how they responded to crisis in lives. So it says that a crisis does not define a person. It reveals the person. So when a crisis comes, that's when you reveal yourself, you know, how you're going to handle it. But God is good. God has given us some time to take a break. But we were able to close the house and everything went fine. But we were panicked. We were panicked. And I was able to write a testimony about all of that in Upper Room, if you have seen it. They published it too. Because I could not go to sleep for a couple of days, and we didn't know what to do. Should we stop? You know, we were trying to pack everything, and we were getting to all of them in boxes to move during that weekend. Should we unpack them? What do you tell your family, you know, when you don't have a job? So when we go through situations like that, don't be panicked. And I learned a big lesson there, because even in the midst of those uncertain situations, there's not much I could do. There's not much I could do. The funny thing is that I called my pastor at that time, and I wanted to share this with him, and he immediately came over to the house to pray with us. But the first thing he asked me, Matthew, what are you going to do? That's not what I wanted to do. But I knew I could not do anything. But there is somebody behind these things who can really do something for me And I trust in that powerful God.
Amen.
And God was able to get us through all of that thing. But we were panicked a little bit. So these are all the situations that come to our lives in Christ situations. But remember that in the middle of that, God is working to send his armies of fire, angels of fire, who will come in chariots so that the enemy cannot do anything to you. So we can see either a tank of the enemy threatening you, or you can see the chariots of fire protecting you. God wants to protect you all the time. When we are faced with opposition, we need to see not the immediate, but beyond it. It could be a face of opposition from our families, our hatred, ridicule, or sickness, or death, or grief, or whatever it be, broken relationships. We need to see through it and see the mighty hand of God working through it and behind it. The second step is to see God's presence in the middle of these things. Elisha said, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." He prayed for his servant. He could see it. But he also needed support from his servant. You know, that's what I said. I had to pray for my pastor at that time. Because the pastor was panicked too. Then what do you do? But remember, we are all human beings.
Amen.
Not only you pray for yourself, you can probably see through it. But your brothers and sisters, you know, they might be afraid. We need to pray for them as well. That's what Prophet Elisha said. And that opened the eyes of that servant, and he was able to see the army of God surrounded in fires of chariots of gold and trying to protect them. Elisha prayed for his servants, and that's the reason why we need to pray for others. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read that the angels are ministering spirits sent by God. There are so many angel spirits that God will send us to protect us. I read about a quick story. I'll tell you, in a mission group in Rwanda, a local missionary group actually was attacked by the rebels at that time. And these missionaries were staying in a small little house in the middle of a remote village. And they had to go every week to get their groceries in the near town. It takes about 4 miles to go there, walk, and come back. And they do that every weekend. The missionaries did that. And this was one of those stories shared by one of those missionaries who stayed there, a local missionary in Rwanda. And while one of them, one time while they were walking towards the town to get groceries, the burglars, the thieves, know that when somebody goes to the town, what do they have with them? They have cash and money with them. So they get usually mugged and burglarized on their way. And one time when these missionaries were going to town to get their food, they were going to be attacked, but they didn't know that. The story came out later on, but they didn't know anything, and they went on their way and came back. The next night, one young man showed up in their house during a prayer meeting, and he said, "I was one of the groups that was hiding in a bush to attack you guys when you guys were going to shop in the town. But we saw about 8 army foresters, forest guards, walking in front of you. So we decided not to attack you." I wanted to know how you got that arranged. That's what he wanted to know from this pastor. He didn't know anything. These people didn't know anything. They just went on their way and came back. But this very guy, young man who came to this group and told them this story, and wanted to know what happened or how this was arranged. And they didn't arrange anything. And that's when this missionary group remembered that God is going to send his angels in many different ways. For some reason, the forest guard patrol group decided to go through that time at that time of the day while these people were walking. But the burglars and the thieves could only see the protection around them, and they went back. And this young man actually became a Christian later on because of this testimony that they heard from these people. That is how God protects us. There are so many experiences that you and I can probably remember. How God sent his angels to protect us in various different ways. God is a faithful God. And there's so many promises in the Bible that we can trust on and hold on to. And He will guard us and protect us in the midst of our crisis. So do not get panicked by counting on God's presence. The heroes of faith like Moses defeated Pharaoh. David defeated Goliath. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego survived the fiery furnace. And Daniel in the lion's den. We went through all of these stories in the past.
Amen.
It is because God's power is mightier than any other power that can threaten you from outside. We all have to go through situations of crisis in our lives. Remember that there is a God behind us, beneath us, behind us and around us, protecting us from all of these enemies around us. Nobody can do anything to us without passing through the barriers of the angels of God. And He is there always protecting us, guiding us. As we go from this place, let us be reminded of the fact that God is always there with us, close like a breath, even when we think we cannot see Him. So don't look at the labels and don't think that there are no refills. There are no refills because there is a reason behind it. So be encouraged and strengthened as we go from this place. May the good Lord bless you with these words as you go. The closing hymn is God Will Take Care of You. It is 130 in the hymnal. You have to follow the hymnal for this as well. Please stand if you are able. Yeah, we'll do all four verses. God Will Take Care of You, 130. If you are able, please stand. People of God, as we go from this place, know that there is a mighty God behind every crisis that you and I go through. And He will make sure that you will be protected and His presence will be there to guide you. May the good Lord bless us with these encouraging words as you go from this place. Now, after the benediction, we will sing a chorus. Please remain standing for that. It is 672. God be with you till we meet again. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. Let's sing.